105 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Department of Justice has made public the final report by Special Counsel Jack Smith on his election interference case against Donald Trump. It says that Trump used lies as a weapon in trying to overturn the 2020 election, and says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Special Counsel making it clear he believes prosecutors had enough evidence to convict Trump and maintained his investigation was free of interference or influence from political actors, the Justice Department, or anyone else. That prosecutors had evidence to prove that the 2020 election was not stolen despite Trump's repeated allegations to the contrary.
Trump responding on social media overnight, calling Jack Smith a lame brain prosecutor and saying, quote, the voters have spoken. As the Santa Ana winds pick up again in Los Angeles, raising the risk of more fires, some landlords are being investigated for price gouging as people whose homes have been destroyed search for some place to live, several arrests for looting as well. This is ABC News. Add New York to the list of states where cell phones could be banned in schools. ABC's Michelle Franzen.
New York's Governor Kathy Hochul hinted at the statewide school cell phone ban proposal at a roundtable Monday, citing concerns, she says, for students' mental health. She says details will follow later this month. Other states and cities have issued their own rules restricting cell phone use in classrooms. In Connecticut, school officials show measurable improvements in students' grades, attendance, and behavior. One high school saw a 7% drop in chronic absences since the ban took effect. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The first official hearing of the impeachment trial of South Korea's President Yoon Suk-yeol ending after 4 minutes today when he refused to show up. The check is literally in the mail for about 1 million Americans. The IRS this month sending out payments to people who didn't get COVID stimulus payments and then failed to claim a credit on their 2021 taxes. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
A milestone for the Badgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, after a string of conference wins, Wisconsin is back in the nation's top 25, ranked 24th this week. The Badgers host Ohio State tonight in Madison, and if they win, it'll be Greg Gard's 200th career win as head coach. Gard has helped players improve their game, like forward Stephen Crowell.
Steve is best when he's aggressive. And I think the last four games, we've tweaked how we sub him in and out a little bit. I think it's helped him, but he knows an aggressive Steve is the best Steve.
NBA, the Bucks are in action tonight at Fiserv Forum. They host the Sacramento Kings. NFL, Packers players cleaning out their lockers now that the season is over after losing to the Eagles Sunday night. The Bears have requested to interview Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich for their head coaching job. They also plan to meet with Mike McCarthy, who was not renewed by the Dallas Cowboys. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothée Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his third appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is cold out there again this morning with a wind chill in the minus 20s, and we're going to keep that wind chill factor below zero all day. Sunshine 10 above the actual high today. We'll drop down to 3 below zero tonight. Tomorrow, warmer, partly cloudy, with a high near 25. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 9 below.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as the national media landscape continues to evolve. Plus, when insurance companies go broke, who pays? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 14th, 2025, and it is a stupid cold day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app on demand by podcast or through our social media video feeds. We appreciate you coming along for the ride, a cold, cold ride. Bundle them up even more than you did before for the bus stop this morning. Let's do temperatures right away. Around Civic Media World, it is 8 below zero here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 11 below. They were at 15 below last hour. Amory, 9 below. Wausau is at 9 below zero right now. La Crosse, minus 1. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 6 below. Green Bay is 1 below zero. And then somewhere south of the equator, Madison's at 3 degrees. Waukesha's at 3 above. And by Greg out there at Radio Park in Racine, it is a tropical 12 degrees above zero.
And snowing.
Oh, and snow. Well, see, if you can't get, if you can't get the double digits below zero, at least get the snow.
Ooh.
And thank you, Alicia, noting on YouTube, yes, stupid cold is the correct way to say it. Like heavy snow down by you or just noticeable?
It's not super heavy, but it's accumulating. There's stuff on the ground. It's not like melting and not enough to be like a snowstorm, just enough to be annoying.
Oh, okay. Yep. Tony writes, it's a toasty 7 above in Ashland, having a heat wave up there. But yeah, in those low-lying places away from the Great Lakes shorelines, it has settled down and is just crazy cold. Medford 13 below, Phillips 13 below. Oh. It is, I know, it's 9 below zero in Rhinelander. Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 will join us for today's history lesson this morning. Also coming up on the show, Tuesday. We're finally back to a regular Tuesday schedule, catching up with a couple of my Up North News colleagues as we do weekly, social media manager Sharita Booker and community editor Christina Laurie. And we'll talk about some of the more popular stories. See, this was a problem. I didn't see Wicked as a play. I didn't know anything about Wicked till recently going to the movie. And so now when I talk about the most popular stories, that are on Up North News, I'm resisting the temptation to talk about the most popular stories that are on there. Thank you. Gosh, you know how to take a cue. I appreciate that. But we'll have that from Sharita and Christina Laurie. In our second hour, we will talk off the top with former Governor Marty Schreiber, the former governor who served in the late 1970s. Yesterday, you'll recall, shared his memories of former President Jimmy Carter, the two of them serving at about the same time. He'll join us live this morning to talk about a book that he's written some time ago, but he continues to tour the state talking to groups about it. The book is about caring for his late wife during her struggles with Alzheimer's disease in her later years, which had to be especially hard because I'll have to ask the former governor, but I believe she was, if not a high school sweetheart, somebody that they met really young and were together for many, many years. And then he was her caregiver while she had Alzheimer's. And now he's written a book in the hopes of helping other people who have to and want to provide care for a spouse, a partner, a family member, a loved one. And so we're looking forward to talking to former Governor Schreiber all about that. And then at 7:30, we get our regular every other week visit from Hans Breitenmoser. He's a dairy farmer in Lincoln County, and he often brings along a guest to talk about rural matters of some sort or another. And he has Sheila Everhart with us today. She's from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. If you've never heard of ag tourism, it's a growing sector of the economy. It's a very interesting sector of the economy. It's one of those cases where maybe this doesn't happen to you. I've been on several group trips through holiday vacations over the years. And so you see all kinds of things while you're in other places. And every so often you get a look from folks like, "You're taking a tour group here to see what I do?" Well, that's what's happening in Wisconsin as well, where you know you're touring areas and people are like, you know, milking their cows or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. And people are learning about something that is not part of their world. And it really is going to be interesting to hear about. Tony puts on YouTube, "Hans is the best." Yes, he is. And I'm glad that he found Sheila Everhart to stop by and talk about agricultural tourism. Along the way, of course, you can call the show, you can text the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to call us or text us as well. And if you're watching us on YouTube or on Facebook, you can post a question or some feedback in the comment sections. We might show it there. Every so often, I give the full reminder that we've got an email address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and, of course, our website, upnorthnewswi.com, Upnorth News being a separate entity from Civic Media. There is some sports tonight. The Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team taking on Ohio State. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock on a couple of radio stations in Wisconsin that are part of Civic Media. That would be WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WRCE in Richland Center, or the Civic Media app. The men's basketball team, the Badgers, had won their fifth straight game over the weekend, and it was their third straight Big Ten win when they took down the Gophers on Friday night. So the Badger men are now 13-3 on the season. They'd started Big Ten play 0-2, but like I said, they've won three in a row, so they're now 3-2 in Big Ten play. The Badger women's basketball team is next in action Thursday, hosting Ohio State. The number one in the country Badger women's hockey team will be at St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, Friday and Saturday this week. I have to apologize now for I got the Badger men's hockey team wrong. Last week I was saying they were about to play at LIU. That was actually this coming weekend is when they're playing at LIU, and you'll be able to hear that game on 97.5 WFHR. The Marquette men's basketball team, ranked 7th in the nation, is at DePaul tonight, and the Marquette women's basketball team will host Seton Hall on Wednesday. So there's a little sports update to try to give you something to look forward to in terms of these cold, cold nights. The one thing I managed to do to ensure a toasty evening tonight, Greg, dealt with doing a good deed and then helping yourself in the process. We have a really good friend who yesterday had surgery for something. It's fairly routine, but, you know, still it's going to leave you sidelined for, you know, a couple of days. And so it was suggested to me by somebody, and she's cute, so I couldn't say no to her, that I make a pan of lasagna, and, you know, so that they have something to easily heat up. Well, the nice side benefit of that, especially on a cold night like this, or cold night that this will be tonight, it'll be like, okay, if you're making one, make two. So I'm not one of those who, you know, some people, you know, on the weekends, they're like prepping seven meals or five meals for the next week. That's not us. We totally live up to the joke that marriage is a commitment that for the rest of your life, you're going to say to each other, what do you want to do for supper? I don't know, what do you want to do? We have that conversation a lot. Other people are better meal planners. And so I'm so proud of myself that the one time I do something nice, I did something nice for myself too. I'm like, I know it's for dinner tonight and I know it's going to be good. I know. Thank you. Thank you. I know. I don't actually, I do. I do deserve it. The lasagna is really good. And by the way, for the times that I do cook something really nicely. I've got, it feels like 100 cookbooks tucked away in a cupboard someplace.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're still there. I just, every time we're cooking, I'm like, I go to the interwebs, yeah. I look through a few recipes. I'm like, oh, this one will do, you know, or I'll look at like three different recipes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to borrow a little of that. Oh, you put oregano in there. Okay. I'm going to do that, you know.
Oregano.
Yes.
Oregano.
And cobble something together. Yeah. And it does. And I swear one of these times I'm going to pull those cookbooks out and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be like, oh, why haven't I made that? Why haven't I made that in a while? Well, because you didn't pull the cookbooks out, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
I pull the cookbook out for, we do a cookie exchange every year on the show. I'm at Nair on Air and we found these great cookies and I just followed the recipe to the letter and they turned out decent. I was very proud of myself. I'm not really a baking person. So like, I was like, let's see how it goes. And they were enjoyed.
There you go. See, if they're in the cookbook, somebody must have got something right
exactly.
At some point here. Yeah. Let's see. We'll tell you that, hey, did you enjoy that 2-month reprieve from political ads? Wasn't it nice? That's done. There's a new TV buy going up today from Republican State Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel, Waukesha County judge. He was Scott Walker's attorney general during Walker's second term as governor. It's a $1.1 million TV ad buy statewide, ads running in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, La Crosse, and Wausau, marking the first spending on TV ads in the closely watched April 1st race in this very key swing state. The 2023 race, you'll recall, where Janet Protasiewicz won and gave control of the court to progressives. That race shattered national spending records for a judicial contest. More than $50 million spent by both sides based on a tally by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And the two candidates in this year's race have already raised more money than at the same point in 2023. Crawford having raised, Judge Susan Crawford from Dane County, we talked to her yesterday, reported raising $2.8 million from individual donors since getting into the race, $2.2 million for Brad Schimmel. Why does any of this matter to you other than, you know, having to see political ads? Well, because of the issues that a state Supreme Court considers. For example, women's health care rights, which are part of a court case right now. I will tell you that State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, a Republican of Oostburg, has said that he would like to once again try to pass a 14-week abortion ban in the state, something that would undoubtedly be going to a state Supreme Court. It is because of the current progressive-controlled state Supreme Court that we have fair maps again and a legislature that's more representative of all of Wisconsin. And, of course, there's the whole right-to-vote thing. Recall that three of the current conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court showed that they were inclined to go along with Donald Trump's efforts to steal the 2020 election. So who serves on the Wisconsin Supreme Court matters a lot. And that's why you're going to see so many commercials and so many people urging you to vote on April 1st, either for conservative Brad Schimmel or progressive Susan Crawford. Let's take a break here, and then Sherita Booker from Up North News will be along next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this frosty Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, money and politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
We are back with Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News. Sherita, how are you doing?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, really appreciate the conversation last week about our various social media platforms, the differences between them. And so folks want to know more, head over to our show page at civicmedia.us, go to shows, go to Up North News, scroll through till you find the one from last Tuesday, and listen to me and Sherita talk about our platforms. But now we're going to get back to what we normally do on Tuesdays, and that is to look at three of the more popular posts that we put up and hear what y'all are saying about that in the comment section and things like that. I'm going to start first with, you've told me that we have a celebrity citing one that garnered a lot of attention, definitely from one of my favorite comedians.
Yep. So Jim Gaffigan made a stop at Discount Liquor in Milwaukee while visiting his wife's family for Christmas. And Jim is originally from Illinois, but he was raised in Indiana. And he's also the first comedian ever booked to perform at the Pfizer. That post had almost 500 likes on our Facebook. And Dan said he has good taste in bourbon, too. So in the pic, you can see him holding up a bottle of Old Forester. I haven't tried that yet, but I guess I put it on my list.
And I am a bourbon drinker regularly. And so I saw that. And I'm like, I have not had that one yet. So now we've got the celebrity endorsement for the brand, whether I like it or not. Well, I'll have to let you know. But yeah, and he's got this look on his face like, I didn't really want to be spotted, but, you know, yeah. I'm here. He's got a very distinctive face, you know. Yep. So you're going to, if you know Jim Gaffigan, you're going to know him when you see him in a liquor store. And people responded very nicely to that, which was pretty cool.
Except for Jesse, who had to make this non-political post political. And he said Jim was a liberal loon.
Seriously, Jesse, yeah. Come on, man. Just enjoy. Okay. Just take him. Jesse's the one at the holiday dinner who had to go there first. It's like, just eat your sweet potatoes. Okay, buddy.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about another popular story that we had dealing with some very talented young budding chefs in the making.
12-year-old Carly Van Pelt from Lake Geneva is competing on Food Network's Kids Baking Championship Amazing Animals. She says that she loves baking because it's really fun to make something that someone else really enjoys. And also that it's the perfect season for her because she loves animals and even making dog treats. Carly is competing for a chance to win $25,000, which is a lot for a little kid, and feature in Food Network magazine and become the title of the champion of the kids baking competition. And that show kicked off last week on Food Network, but you can catch the episodes on Max. That post had more than 7,000 likes on our Facebook and more than 400 comments congratulating her. Nadine said, "Making it to the top 12 makes you a winner no matter what happens. What a great experience and best of luck from all of your Wisconsin fans. Go Carly." And Sharon said, "Good luck. And no matter what, you hold your head high and continue on with what you love. Positive thoughts are with you."
I'm all for this, but I am going to say I'm one of those folks who probably is not in their target audience, because you see these kids, they're really under pressure. And yeah, they're putting the pressure on themselves, and they, you know, they're there and they like to bake and everything. But I always just have a tough time watching kids when they get into these stressful situations. I'm like, if I'm going to watch kids, I want to watch them having fun. So yeah. I suppose she'd be a fun one to watch because, you know, you win, and winning is always fun.
Yeah, and I hate to see when they, you know, if they get kicked off because they lost a round or whatever. And, you know, it just devastates them. So that's what makes it hard about watching kid competition shows.
Oh, I know. But so it's definitely, it cuts both ways of being able to see the joy for the ones that do really well. And again, you can find that post on Facebook on our social media sites. So we're going from baked goods. We're going to close with one more bit of Wisconsin food. And sushi, not the sushi you would think of, but when I say Wisconsin sushi, what do you think of? And Sharita, this was again one pretty popular post on Instagram.
Okay, so the meme says Wisconsin sushi, but according to you guys, it's really known as Midwestern sushi. Same. But yes. The sushi consists of a slice of deli meat, which is usually made with smoked ham, but you can put whatever meat you want in there. You add cream cheese and you roll it around in a pickle spear. Then you cut it up into bite-sized pieces. Now, I've never had that before, but I eat all those ingredients. So, I mean, I'm down to try. That post has almost 700 likes on our Instagram and 400 shares. Debbie said, "My mother-in-law made them with green onions. Now I make half with pickle, half with green onion." And Snicker Whiskey said, "Last time I ate it with chopsticks." And Penny said, "I could really go for a pickle wrap right now."
Huh. And there's Laura here who says, "We call it Sheboygan sushi in our house. My sister makes it and, of course, calls it Minnesota sushi." Whatever it is, stop calling it sushi. There's no raw fish involved in this in any way, shape, or form. Look, if you love pickles, cream cheese, and ham, yeah, what's not to love? I'm not a pickle eater, so that to me just looks wrong. But
you're the first person I've ever heard say that they're not a pickle eater. That's crazy.
You know, different strokes for different folks. You know, take that ham and cream cheese, put that on a bagel, put it on an everything bagel. Now I'm good to go. You know, that'd be just fine. But to this day, and I am a 60-year-old man, but when Sherry and I go through the drive-through at McDonald's, the first thing we do is the pickles come off my cheeseburger and they go on hers, because again, I'm a grown man. That's what we do. You can see these ridiculous stories and some of the serious ones and much more on all of the Up North News social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and much more. Sharita Booker, thanks for all you do. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right, one more news story to tell you about, and then we'll bring Christina Laurie in here to talk about some of the stories that she works on for our daily newsletter. Special Counsel Jack Smith, who resigned over the weekend ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration next week, has finally released his report on Trump's alleged election interference, but not the classified documents investigation, because that Trump-appointed judge, Eileen Cannon, is still blocking that. Trump responded to what is essentially a mountain of evidence that he tried to steal the election and helped launch the violent insurrection on January 6th by saying, "Well, the voters have spoken." No, the voters hadn't spoken. The voters didn't have all the info. Just as they didn't have all the info in 2016 about Trump having an affair with a porn star while your wife was at home with your newborn son. Trump doesn't have a lot of talents, but one of them is the ability to slither away from accountability through the use of delay. It's his only real skill, and he used it to his advantage against Jack Smith in this instance as well. Pause here and visit with Christina Laurie after this. You're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Well, what was supposed to be an uneventful World Ag Supply-Demand Report on Friday turned into quite the newsmaker. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Greg McBride is a commodity broker with Allendale Incorporated. He said USDA proved the January World Ag Supply-Demand Report can rock the trade. USDA made cuts to both corn and soybean numbers here in the United States while leaving South America's crop unchanged.
What does it look like with no changes to South American production at this point and a record overall production expected between Brazil and Argentina? We already know that the price of beans is lower in Brazil than it is here, but the price of corn is still holding firm on the U.S. side of things, even though we know that that's going to shift over the next month.
Greg McBride with Allendale Incorporated. He says now it's going to be a matter of trying to figure out just exactly what happens with our U.S. crop. Soybeans received a little bullish news, but McBride said both marketplaces are facing uncertainty with the news about the South American crop. Where do the numbers stand as we get started on a Tuesday morning? I've got those next.
You're not in the habit of leaving yield in the field. You don't let the acres hold out on you. No bushel of corn gets left behind. That's why you choose top performers like DeKalb brand VT4 Pro with RNAi technology. It's got gigantic performance potential with the research to prove it. And 5 modes of action to protect against pests. Ready to go for the yield? Talk to your DeKalb representative. Never settle. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Make the best of wintertime fun at the 4th Annual Sun Prairie Frozen Fest, January 29th through February 2nd, presented by the Bank of Sun Prairie. It's a fantastic opportunity to enjoy a variety of winter activities like the puzzle contest, cardboard sled classic, winter beer garden, bonfire, hibernation hustle 5K, pancake breakfast, and the 77th Annual Groundhog Day Prognostication. For more about Frozen Fest, log on to cityofsunprairie.com.
On Monday, barrel cheese gained 3 to 188. 40-pound block cheese was up 9 at 191, while AA butter gained a penny and a quarter to 261 and a quarter per pound. This morning, the February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 13 cents right now, 20.47 a hundredweight. March corn's down a penny at 475. December new crop down a penny and a half at 456. March beans are still up 4 at 1057. November new crop unchanged. March wheat also unchanged at 545, with July up a penny at 568 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Tuesday trade session. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is cold out there again this morning with a wind chill in the minus 20s, and we're going to keep that wind chill factor below zero all day. Sunshine 10 above the actual high today. We'll drop down to 3 below zero tonight. Tomorrow, warmer, partly cloudy, with a high near 25. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 9 below.
This message is sponsored by WiscCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiscCaregiver.com gives you 2 great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiscCaregiver.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. Sandy Williams will be here to talk about what to expect from the Trump administration with the inauguration less than a week away.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Hey, look who's back on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning. It is Christina Laurie, community editor, and the person who writes that newsletter. You get to read every weekday morning. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, what is it? Is it still too late? It's not too late. Happy New Year.
You know, what is the deadline on that?
I don't know. I would say the first time you see anybody, you know, but that might be stretching things a bit. How was your holiday break?
It was much needed and wonderful. Was yours?
Same. You know, coming off the election and the craziness of the holiday season. But here we are back into the regular routine, which is really nice, actually. After a break, the kind that I had, you actually kind of don't mind getting back into a groove once again, whether it's the radio show, the newsletter, anything like that. Or how about you? Could you have extended that vacation? You seem a little young to be retiring and having that much time off.
Well, and it's funny because my dad is actually retiring at the end of this month. So he was very much rubbing that in all of our faces at home. You know, like, I'm off, but in 4 weeks, I'm going to be off again forever. It's like, yeah, that's a little soon.
every day is Saturday, you know?
Yeah.
That's all right. You know, so we jump back into the swing of things here, which includes all kinds of Wisconsin stories that we love to cover, more or less. Occasionally there's a story where I'm like, well, it is a true Wisconsin story, but I'm not a fan of it. And we're going to start with one of those, and that would be the so-called cannibal sandwich. And for folks who weren't part of this discussion earlier, when Sherita Booker was here a few weeks back talking about the most popular posts of any given week, there was one with a Bloody Mary, and the garnish was a cannibal sandwich, the raw ground beef sandwich. And so I already got all my strong reactions out. I'll sum them up this way. Gross. But other people definitely disagree, and it wouldn't be a thing, Christina, if there weren't still people happy to dig in on a raw meat sandwich.
Well, I'm with you and the FDA on this. I am very anti-cannibal sandwich. However, I was disgusted to find out this is a huge holiday thing.
Yes.
In Wisconsin.
Yep.
So Ray's Butcher Shop in Milwaukee, they sell 1,000 pounds of raw beef, specifically for cannibal sandwiches, on Christmas Eve alone, and then another 600 to 700 pounds on New Year's Eve. So many of your listeners, those numbers don't get that high without you guys. So Someone is buying this. And my question is who? What just grosses me out is just the texture. It just is extra chewy. I have tried it before, but we never called it a cannibal sandwich. I've done it with my grandpa when we're making his burgers, and you have a little extra meat in the bowl, you know, mixed with those onions and breadcrumbs and raw egg to top it all off.
Right. This just really go all the way.
And we've scooped it onto crackers, and my grandpa loves it. And he's 89, so this has obviously worked out well for him. I mean, he's consumed multiple pounds of raw meat in his lifetime, and he's still kicking. So as for me, I take one bite to be polite, and I think it's absolutely disgusting.
Here's who I want to hear from, and these are folks who don't normally want to speak up because of patient confidentiality and everything. Doctors. I want one of these Christmases to hear from an ER doc who said, oh yeah, it would have been a routine, you know, night here around Christmas time, but you know, these couple of people came in and one of them did whatever. I don't want to get gross here, but, you know, had a terrible reaction to it, made them horribly sick, because it does happen. We don't get to hear that side of it very much. And of course, because it doesn't happen to 100% of the people, people are like, oh, yeah, see, it must be safe. Sure. Till you're the one that gets food poisoning or something like it. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a, say, a medium rare steak. There is a proper temperature where the meat is still pink and still very tasty. But that perfect temperature, that safe temperature, is more like 130, not room temperature. That's my point.
The thing to play devil's advocate here, though, is that since I mentioned Ray's Butcher Shop, the thing about them that just gives me a little more hope than the raw meat that I was digging into with my grandpa that we just got from a grocery store that had been on the shelf for however long, Ray's grinds its meat the day of. So freshness really does count with the safety of these sandwiches.
Right.
So if you going to do it, do it the right way.
Yes. Yeah. Think sushi. Really, yeah. Really, really fresh before anything can go bad with it. So there you go. There's the debate. And we'll just park it there until we get closer to the next holiday season or the next place that tries to put some kind of a ridiculously large garnish on their Bloody Mary, I guess. Now, I'm making very clear, there's a clear delineation here in our next topic, from Cannibal Sandwiches to Culver's. They're not serving them. We're not saying that at all. We're going into a different topic with Culver's and the other sandwiches and burgers and everything else, and the way that they use some of the proceeds from that in a very positive way because of a very horrible recent situation.
Yeah, this is just another example added to the list of things that Culver's does that are just good for the state of Wisconsin. It never forgets its Sauk City roots and ingratiates itself within our local communities. Perhaps that was the most on display last week when they hosted a giant statewide fundraiser at more than 70 Culver's all across the state of Wisconsin, where they donated 25% of their proceeds to the Abundant Life Christian Schools Emergency and Recovery Fund. Of course, that was started after the awful school shooting that happened before the holidays here in Madison. But they donated 25% of their proceeds, which is a significant chunk and a lot more than they usually donate, because Culver's like routinely does fundraisers. The threshold is usually 10%, which is also very generous. I'll never, you know, critique any amount. I always see those commenters that are like, Culver's is such a big company, they only can do 25%. Instead of, they did 25%, that is a huge deal. Right. And I also, though, do want to give one shout out to a business who did really go above and beyond. The two Texas Roadhouse locations in Madison, both on the east and west side, they spent one day last week donating 100% of their profits to that recovery fund, which is huge as well. So kudos to everyone who participated on the business end, on the customer end. I hope your meals were delicious and you enjoyed them even more knowing you were making a big difference.
Yeah, it is a nice way to combine the two. You're going to be eating anyway. You may as well do some good in the process. So let's talk a little sports here for a moment, because, you know, whatever the results on the field, there are things that professional athletes do off the field, and also certain, you know, benefits that they get off the field. For all the talk about multi-million-dollar contracts, there's also a lot to be said about the endorsement deals that they can land. And you're here to share a couple of Green Bay Packers and some, how did you call them? Some dream endorsements, basically?
Yes. So you're probably familiar with a man named Tucker Kraft, a tight end from the Packers.
Oh, yes.
He's been stellar this season. He's had 46 receptions, 671 yards, 7 touchdowns. But his dream was not just to play in the NFL. He wanted an endorsement from Kraft because of his mac and cheese love.
Yep.
And so Kraft made his dream come true. They sent him 85 boxes, his number, of course, of specially boxed Kraft yak and cheese, a little play on that NFL term.
Okay.
And he posted a bunch of pictures. He was like a little kid on social media, so excited about this endorsement. And it's just cool to see these players who are making these multi-million dollar contracts get so excited about free mac and cheese. Like those 85 boxes were probably around 85 bucks, even with inflation at the grocery store. So that was just really funny to see. And then another one, speaking of multi-million dollar contracts, Jordan Love, there's been all these things going on for the past few seasons. Ever since he's taken over as starter, he really goes off during the end of the season. Like he tends to peak later. Mm-hmm. And it always happens to coincide with Toyota's holiday Toyota-thon. So he actually got a endorsement from Toyota to be in their commercials. He had this whole like Toyota-thon, loves the Packers, sweater on. It was just great. And he's like so pumped about Toyotas. While a lot of football players are out there, you know, buying Ferraris and
yeah,
anything they can. It's cool to see like they're still kids at heart. And we forget how young they really are.
Yeah. It's when you talked about how just something simple like that, like mac and cheese or a toy drive, especially for a guy like Tucker Kraft, who's got a $5.5 million contract. Okay, on average, he makes $1.4 million a year, and yet there's something very tangible about the boxes of mac and cheese. It's one thing to have a big old salary. It's another thing when they're betting at the golf course. A $50 bill suddenly means a lot more to them because you have to hand it over to somebody else if you lose that hole. So it's just a way of, I think, staying in touch with your humanity. That a salary is one thing, but if you can do through an endorsement deal or some kind of a charitable act, something that means more to other people, that connects with you, I think that's a really good thing and reminds us that, they're real people, not just million-dollar athletes.
Exactly. I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. Let's kind of wrap things up with Lambeau Field, which, of course, is now dormant until next season here. But, one of the things we've joked about a couple of times is, it shouldn't be a joking matter, but I mean, there are people who just listen to Police Scanners and they report on the people who get arrested during Packer games, usually for being, drunk and disorderly. And sometimes we need to be reminded that there are not only fans who are better behaved, but fans who, as a lifestyle are saying, that's not for me.
Well, and we so frequently associate the entire state with drunkenness here right in Wisconsin. So I was really surprised. I just posted, I just stumbled upon this and I was torn whether or not to post it because it just kind of seemed small initially to me. Lambeau Field has this thing called Section Yellow. It's a little booth that's in between sections 110 and 112 in the stadium concourse where they hand out stickers and pins that say one game at a time for people who are recently sober. And it's not like a big thing. It's just a word of mouth. And this post, I just put it on my Facebook page and it so far has reached millions, almost 10 million people, gotten 100,000 likes. People are obviously resonating with this. And I think that is just worth a shout out. It's so cool to know that if you are sober here in Wisconsin, you are not alone. You also have thousands of people cheering you on and really proud of you for your accomplishments. And also know that you have space at Packers games. There's a community of people that want you there too. So, don't be shy, head out there, get that pin next season and go sit in Section Yellow. And one other thing, when I was writing about this, I was like, it would be really cool if other teams did this, especially in Wisconsin with our reputation for alcohol. And right, the Brewers, although they don't call it a sober section, they have designated family sections where alcohol is not allowed. So if you want to go to a baseball game and you don't want to be tempted by the cold beer, or maybe you're on a budget and just don't want to, spend money that day, sit in the family section. Anyone is welcome. You don't have to have kids. You just can't drink.
I think that's just a good reminder for all of us to be supportive. You don't know what anybody else is going through in their particular journey. And so if they expose a little bit of that, like trying to start or maintain sobriety, I think we should all be there for them.
And I also just last thing want to add that not drinking does not make you boring. No. I don't drink just completely by choice. It just doesn't appeal to me. And I don't like the taste of any drink that I've ever had. So I just typically abstain from alcohol. And I like to think I'm not a super boring person. So whatever your reason, you know, sober is fine in Wisconsin too.
Totally not super boring person, Christina
Lorie.
Join us. Put that on the business card. Thanks, Christina. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
We'll be back with more after this. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to today's history lesson, and that's the old theme to the Today Show back in the late 1970s. Dan Hagen works for an NBC station, WJFW, Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and joined us for our Tuesday history lesson. Mr. Hagen, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning to you. Another momentous day on NBC Today. Hoda Kotb left. That was quite an experience.
It was. And I wondered how they were going to tie that into the anniversary. Today is the anniversary of the Today Show. It debuted on this day in 1952. I think, have you seen this by now, the original open to the very first Today Show?
No, I have not.
Oh, well, give a listen. This is how they announced the opening of the Today Show and its original host, Dave Garraway. Let's listen to that for a few seconds.
Today, January 14th, 1952, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are in NBC's World Communications Center in the heart of Radio City, New York. We are in touch with the world. We'll tell you what's happening today. My name is Jack LaSculek. And here is Dave Garraway.
Well, here we are. And good morning for you. The very first good morning of what I hope and suspect will be a great many good mornings between you and I.
Well, if that was impression, I don't know what is. Dave Garraway saying, I hope it's the first of many mornings, and the Today Show is still around 73 years later. That's some staying power.
It's like wearing a waistband microphone. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Like hooked to his belt. It's just...
Which was the latest technology. Yes. I mean, this was like
a microphone from his waistband.
Yeah. Yep. With like, it Well, yeah, almost like a piece of metal then kind of sticking up. And that was like the, it's like, you don't have to hold the microphone. You can make something else hold it. It's a, go look at the clip on YouTube. It's like a working newsroom. You could hear the teletype machines, you know, in the background there. It's, you know, it's just very impressive for its time. There's a great story about, I believe it's a Wisconsin native who was kind of one of the innovators saying, we can do this live TV morning show. And now all these years later, Hoda leaving. Who's taking his her place? Craig Melvin is. That's right.
Yep.
So, all right. So anyway. So
was today the first one of its kind?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there were morning newscasts, but nothing like 2 hours of combining some news and entertainment and trying to get reports live from other places around planet Earth. That was pretty groundbreaking for its time. Pat Weaver, I believe the guy's name was, who helped invent it. Just a great story. All right, let's get back to some of the other notes on in history today. Happy 89th birthday to blues singer-songwriter Clarence Carter.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt, cause he'd done all he could.
Patches has got to be one of the saddest songs ever, if you listen to it all the way through. But Clarence Carter, I mean, he can sell it, and still with us at the age of 89. Happy birthday to LL Cool J. He's 57 years old today. LL Cool J just comes off the tongue better for a rapper than, ladies and gentlemen, James Smith.
Because the ladies love Cool James.
That's right. That's where the name came from. Ladies love Cool James. Super Bowl II was held on this day in 1968. And by the way, credit to Roger in Stevens Point. He also noted it and sent it to us. The Packers beat the Oakland Raiders 33-14 and would be Vince Lombardi's final game as the Packers head coach. So Super Bowl II, this day in 1968. Happy birthday to Dave Grohl. He's 56 today.
Doesn't feel weird.
No, not at all. And by the way, initially I typed it as 46. And I was just like, nope, that's not it. 56. Here he is. Dave Grohl, I mean, do you, Dan, for you, does Foo Fighters come to mind first? Nirvana, or just as a solo artist?
I would say Nirvana comes to mind first. And yes, some great Foo Fighters songs as well. He was in the news recently. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Yeah, he fathered a child out of wedlock and made like a post about it on, you know, social media. So I haven't heard from him since. That's probably on purpose on his part.
I'm busy being a dad. He's 56.
That was hilarious. Like, I thought you were kidding, Dan, and I thought you were kidding, Pat. The fact you said it in such a news way, and Pat's like, okay, didn't know.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yep. He's 56 today, so is actor Jason Bateman, born the same day. On this day in 1973, again, things that seem commonplace, like the Today Show, the use of satellites. Elvis Presley had a concert from Hawaii that was broadcast this day in 1973. It was broadcast live via satellite around the world, the first time that was ever done for a single performer for his show. Give a listen. If you've ever heard the signature little intro to Elvis coming up on stage, here's what it sounded like that day. Da-da-da, da-da-da. He's got the white jumpsuit, you know.
He can still fit in it.
See, yeah, he could still fit in it. He was very trim, but yeah, he was still in his rock star, not his late rock star shape, shall we say. And then goes on to sing CC Rider and a bunch of other things. Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album hit number one for a record, what was then a record, 31st week on the U.S. album charts this day in 1978. And finally, let's skip down to Rush. They released their seventh studio album, Permanent Waves, on this day in 1980. This is International Kite Day. Why Kite Day would be noted in January is a mystery to me. And finally, we've got to get Dan's opinion on this very weighty issue. This is National Dress Up Your Pet Day. Dressing up pets in funny costumes, yay or nay? It's okay to say nay, trust me.
I'm going
to
say nay.
Thank you. It's one my wife still tries to convince me. Dogs love when you put socks on their paws. She's kidding.
And then they just kind of shiver and
Yeah. They do not like that at all. Dan Hagen, catch him on Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, I address whether the January 6th committee destroyed evidence. You know, that little tidbit that's been flying around the MAGAverse. It ain't true. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
The Badgers.
Seats Max. Face the three. Takes the three. Left side. Yes, sir.
Play.
Pivots. Fades. Flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up. Got it. With the right hand. It counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk. Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More water, more help. A fresh team of firefighters has arrived in the Los Angeles area, along with additional tankers, as those fierce Santa Ana winds pick up once again in Southern California. The fires have so far killed 24 people and destroyed thousands of homes and businesses. The Department of Justice making public the final report by Special Counsel Jack Smith on his election interference case against President-elect Donald Trump. Smith determining, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio,
prosecutors had evidence to prove that the 2020 election was not stolen despite Trump's repeated allegations to the contrary. In a letter obtained by ABC News that Smith sent Attorney General Merrick Garland last week along with his final report, Smith defended his conduct as fully lawful, free of partisan influence, and vital to the aspirations of the justice system.
Confirmation hearings begin this morning for Donald Trump's pick for defense secretary, former Fox News host Pete Hegseth. This is ABC News.